Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley, Joey Pyburn, am I right? Matt Nelson running the board. I'm Tom Nelson, and on the phone, Jason Nelson. You can never have too many Nelsons, okay? Let's just put it there. We got half Nelson, quarter Nelson.
Sure tail Nelson. Relative.
That's it. Well, I asked him. I wonder why I never saw him around the table at Thanksgiving.
I'm so sorry, Jason.
Dude, yeah.
Sorry, man.
Oh, we had a good time on the phone yesterday. And Jason,
yeah,
sounds like you guys had a great time at Canyon River Ranch over the weekend.
Oh, it was a blast. I can't believe I got to go with those guys out there. It was so much fun. It was a blast.
Yeah, we had a good time over there. And really, it was our first time doing the put-and-take pheasant hunting program over there with Reds, and it was fun.
It's a blast, man. I'd never done that before, and I highly recommend it, man.
Yeah,
if you have a dog or don't have a dog, you don't need a dog, you can go over there with nothing. They provide a guide for you. We had Dallas and his dog, Cannon. And, man, it's so much fun just watching the dog work. And those birds hold nice and tight.
They do.
Which, for, like, new hunters, those birds hold, and you walk up, and they'll flush 3, 4, 5 feet out in front of you.
Well,
you get a good look at them.
For me, the best part is if you get one close to that cliff, and he's got nowhere to go, but he's got to fly straight up, you know. So then that's what's fun for me. I need the help to hit him every now and then.
So we first hooked up with you a little while ago, Halfland Brew, because I've known about Halfland for a long time. I'm good friends with your partner David's dad down there, and fish around him in Southeast Alaska a lot. And you guys have come a long ways with Halfland. You're just killing it. But I was down meeting with David a little while ago. I'm like, who here hunts or fishes? Oh, yeah, Jason Nelson, you got to call him. And so we really never met until you rolled in to Red's over there the other day. And I mentioned earlier in the show, this big shadow passes over Joe's little Subaru. And here comes this guy in this jacked up, lifted Dodge. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to get along great.
Well,
with beer. And he's got a truck full of beer.
What was funny was we were sitting there kind of waiting for our guide.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We see this big truck and this guy who looks, you know, like a bird hunter pulls up. And we're like, oh,
guide.
That's got to be our guide.
Whatever. It's not that. It's only a 2-inch lift, you guys.
Oh, come on, 40-inch tires. But then we get to talking. You've been hunting for a long time, man. You're a big archery hunter. Family's got property all over North Dakota. Talk about some of your hunting experiences, man. You've done a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm not that big of a hunter. I'm not a hunter expert. I hunt a lot. I have no clue what I'm doing, but I have a lot of fun out there. And so, you know, I got into fishing. I grew up fishing with my dad out in the Puget Sound. And then, you know, when I got older, met my father-in-law and started hunting with him out in the woods, started elk hunting with him, and then morphed into pheasant hunting and bought my first GSP, years ago, Trooper, and started hunting with him. And he kind of taught me how to bird hunt, actually. That dog taught me everything I know about bird hunting. Actually, he's just an amazing dog. And we started hunting, you know, just around the area, you know, at all the, you know, the release sites that are around, and, you know, hunting every other Saturday and Sunday on odd and even days. And then, you know, hitting a family trip out into North Dakota, where my wife's family has property. You know, we go out there on Thanksgiving and, you know, get to hunt real wild birds, which is a completely amazing and different experience than, you know, release birds. And so that's kind of my background in hunting, and, you know, started dabbling in archery, you know, a couple of years ago, and love archery hunting. It's just a blast to get up close with the elk and, you know, in the woods. It's a different setting, archery versus rifle.
Oh, yeah, man. It's just kind of what it's all about. There's no question about it. Jason Nelson, Halfline Brewing, joining us this morning. And Jason, the whole story behind Halfline Brewing is fascinating, but you know what I was so impressed with yesterday when we talked was the fact that here's a company that's been successful, but also is giving back. Tell us a little bit about what Halfline Brewing does for both the forestry and first responder communities, Jason.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's just kind of what where we started. When we started, that was kind of our passion and our goal is to be a part of the community and take care of our community. And our passion, we've grown up in the woods. And so our grandpa was a Forest Service, in the Forest Service and retired from the Park Service. And so that's just kind of our background. And so we want to take care of our forest. And so part of what we do, some of our beers that we make and the Suntop IPA and Albert's Amber, we try and give a proceeds of those back to different areas that are helping our forest, helping our wildlife. And so like this year, we found an opportunity to partner with Green River Community College, and we were able to give scholarships out to some kids that are interested in the Forest Service program there that they operate and have. And so some kids that graduated high school last year are entering into the new Forest Service program at Green River, and Half Line was able to partner with Green River in those scholarships. And so because people bought the beer that we make, so it's pretty cool. So that's part of what we've been doing.
Speaking of the beer that you make, tell us a little bit about Elk Camp Kolsch and some of the other seasonal brews you have, because I got into that Log Show. In fact, you and I did, Jerry, mm-hmm. down at Bowie 10. We got into some Log Show Blonde down there, and that stuff
is good.
Oh, dude! But yeah, so tell us a little bit about the genesis of some of the different brews you got going on there at Half Line Brewing, Jays.
Yeah, we've got like you said, Elk Camp Kolsch. That's just a great, easy drinking beer. It's a seasonal beer that we pop up here and there. Elk Camp Kolsch is just a nod to Elk Camp. You know, like when I go to Elk Camp, we want an easy drinking beer. And so a Kolsch that we make is just a real nice beer that you can drink a lot of. And so that's kind of what that beer was. And right now, kind of our favorites are our Suntop IPA. It's a pretty neat beer, and it's got some neat citrus and tropical notes to it, you know, that just are amazing, that kind of blend with the piney nose. And so it's just a nice Pacific Northwest IPA. And so
I really dig the stout, but mm-hmm. Rob forced a seltzer on me while we were pheasant hunting.
I'm not big into the seltzer deal, but Joe's into them now. He loves them.
And it was good, man. It was really good. I took a couple home, and my wife really enjoyed them. Yeah, the seltzers are really good.
Yeah, the seltzers are pretty cool. Everyone seems to love them, and they're in a fun packaging and, you know, great flavors and all natural. And so it's pretty cool. The seltzer's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's neat to have a complement to our brand, you know, a beer that, you know, is a little bit more rugged, and then you have the seltzer that's a little bit more luxurious. And
luxurious, that's Pyburn. That's Pyburn in one word right there. That sums him up right there.
After a hard day of hunting planted pheasant, I like to kick back and have a seltzer. You guys shut up.
Exactly. You put your pinky out when you drink that thing, or what?
You saw what I did.
I did put my pinky out.
We have a picture.
Yeah, we got pictures. Now, we had a blast hunting, man. We got to get you out again, mm-hmm. And maybe do some waterfowl hunting coming up here. I know you talked about doing that a little bit. You got any other plans? I mean, I know you're busy with Half Lion, and it's fun to watch what Half Lion has become. I mean, you guys are growing like crazy. But we got to be able to peel you away here at some point, do a little duck hunt or something. You got any other plans on your own?
We got to make you the brand experience manager.
There we go.
I'm all in. Whatever you guys want to go do and experience, I'll experience with you.
So we finally got somebody that'll bring the beer, too.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, I'll bring beer. You guys bring cool gun and make sure we have the right ammo. I'm all in.
Could be the most valuable player coming into 2022, no question about it. All right, Jason Nelson, halflion.com. Jason, we appreciate your time. I look forward to spending some time with you on the water in the woods, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, man.
You too. Take care. All right, coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
WDFW has been busy planning 27 lakes around the state with rainbow trout for the Black Friday fishing event coming up. 23 of those lakes are in western Washington. Some lakes recently planted were Green Lake near Seattle with 2,650 rainbows, Ballinger in Snohomish County with 1,800 trout, and Silver Lake also with 1,200 trout. And Spanaway Lake near Tacoma with just shy of 2,500 trout. You can read all about it, the recent trout plants, over on Marky Wass's blog over on theoutdoorland.com, or search the catchable trout plant database on the WDFW website.
Customer Appreciation Day is coming up at Sport Cone Outdoor Emporium. The super popular customer appreciation events have been scheduled at Sport Cone 5 and Outdoor Emporium in downtown Seattle. The Outdoor Emporium event is scheduled for December 4th from 10 to 3, and the Sport Cone event's on December 7th from 7 p.m. to 9:30. Sport Cone Outdoor Emporium blow out some of the biggest deals of the year at these events. There's door prizes, raffle items, product reps on hand to help you with your fishing and hunting questions. Find out more about these events at sportco.com.
WDFW wants to thank everyone that sent in their catch record cards. Shellfish managers crunched through all the data and determined that there's enough quota left in Marine Area 10 to open a winter crab season. The season is slated to open on November 22nd and run through December 31st. This allows some crabbing opportunity in the Central Sound over the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays.
Connor Martinez of John's Sporting Goods up in Everett says the crabbing's been excellent around the Mukilteo area the last couple of weeks. The weather's been challenging, to say the least, when the water allows for it. Folks have been getting out and getting limits of crab. He said the crabs seem to be holding best in 50 to 70 feet of water, and with all the pink carcasses washing out of the Snohomish River right now, salmon carcasses are definitely the bait of choice for crab. Connor said the hot crab pot lately been the new large collapsible pot from SMI. Said they fish well and are easy to store. Crab in the Everett area stays open through the end of the year.
Hood Canal chums cruising the creeks. Chum runs well underway on Hood Canal. Reports our fishing's been excellent. Kelly Reardon from WDFW says there's a ton of chums in the vicinity of Hood Sport. Most of those creek mouths up and down the canal have chums staging at them right now, but Kelly said Hood Sport is the heavy hitter on the canal. Run a BOMAC 1-ounce easy drift float with a 1-ounce mooch and sinker, sporting a 4-foot, 25-pound leader with a 2-aught hook mooching rig. Dye some of that raised bait anchovies, either blue or green, and rig them to spin slowly. Chum are service-oriented, so simply cast that rig in front of those big schools of chum and hold on. Hood Sport should produce excellent chum fishing through the end of November.
The Seattle Boat Show just announced some new changes to the popular seminar lineup for the upcoming show. This year will be one seminar stage that will accommodate 72 boating and fishing seminars. Up to 100 people can attend each seminar, and they will be recorded and added to the online seminar library for select ticket holders. With special online viewing tickets, folks can view the seminars for up to 3 months after the boat show. Log on to seattleboatshow.com for more information about the biggest boat show on the West Coast.
Next round of razor clam digs is tentatively scheduled for November 16th through the 24th on the Washington coast. 2.8 million razor clams have already been harvested this season, and digging just started in October. The average number of clams per digger last Sunday was 17. With a 20-clam limit, that's an excellent average. Watch the WDFW website for final word on this next round of razor clam digs.
Gun sales still white hot. The National Shooting Sports Foundation just released the gun sales numbers for October. Sales last month were the second highest for a 31-day reporting period on record, coming in second only to October 2020 when the pandemic and social unrest drove gun transfers to an all-time high. Last month, roughly 1.53 million gun transfers were completed online. So far, 15.2 million FBI background checks have been completed in 21, putting this year on a path being the second strongest year on record. A record 21 million background checks were completed in 2020, and gun sales are forecast to eclipse 20 million units this year.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
What are people going to do with all those guns? There's no ammo.
Yeah, I know.
There's no ammo anywhere.
No,
that's why.
Nothing. What is going on there? It's crying out loud. Well, actually, you got some word on that. It sounds like a powder facility, manufacturing site up in Canada.
Yeah.
It didn't burn down. It blew up.
No, they don't burn down. Yeah. They explode.
Yeah. Gunpowder factory. So they're having a hell of a time just getting gunpowder,
birdshot, steel for
all of it.
You know, shotgun shells.
Yeah,
there's
lead,
all
copper.
Kinds of issues. They can't get primers. So, yeah, I don't know when this is going to get worked out, but there's like panic out there in the waterfowl community. I'm on this text string with Lusky and Spencer and all those guys, and it's all ammo talk. Like, they're like, we're going to have to start using lead. We don't have anything. We're going to have to break the law.
Well, I think I had 4 boxes of ammo last time I went to the range, and these guys were kind of just lingering around my table there. I'm like, you guys just get out of here.
They're going to club you in the head.
Oh, man. It's like, dude, that's like Bitcoin laying on your table there, you know? It's just nothing.
I know. I don't jump into that conversation because I don't want them to know how much I have, you know?
Yeah.
They'll be knocking on my door.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been tough out there for sure. The one thing that has been available is a little bit, at least, of that 6.8 Western stuff. So guys are actually buying the ammo first, then in ordering a 6.8 Western. I think Skagit Arms had 4 6.8 Westerns coming in. I think they're all spoken for already. They're coming in, I think, in early February or something like that. Hopefully they can get some more. But, it's tough for sure.
And something that's flying around online about these 6.8s is, look, it is not the same as a 270 short mag. It's not. The headspace is different and everything else is different. Ammo is not interchangeable. They're two completely different rounds. So it's 6.8 Western, get 6.8. If you got a 270 short mag, then make sure that, because there has been some outlets that have been selling 6.8s and sending guys out the door with 270 short mags, and that is not a recipe for success. But part of the supply chain thing is also manifesting itself in the marine industry with regard to parts for your outboards. Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina, going to talk to us about more winterization stuff. We're going to talk a little early season halibut, potentially, how the chess pieces are setting on the board for the Pacific Salmon Commission talk starting next week, and maybe a little Black Friday trout stuff, all coming up next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the wheelhouse, presented by Duckworth, Wellcraft, Northwest Boat. I was actually at the factory this week. I got to bring my Duckworth back and ready to go and ready to go fishing, and somebody's going to tell us about some opportunities here locally. It is none other than the Trout Whisperer himself, our good friend, Dave Johnson of Kitsap Marina, kitsapmarina.com. What's up, Dave?
You tying on a woolly bugger
good
as we speak?
Good morning, boys.
He is a woolly bugger.
How you doing, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I'm a woolly bugger.
I stopped by the shop yesterday, man.
It is November, right?
Oh, you guys are busy down there. The parking lot was full.
Yes, sir.
A lot of winterization's happening. What else is going on at the shop, man?
Waiting on parts.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that. Sure. It's that whole supply chain thing's manifested itself in availability on stuff that you wouldn't even think. I mean, who would think that you would have a tough time finding water pump impellers or even spark plugs or anything? But, you know, so what advice would you give the guys that have some work to do on their boat prior to this upcoming season?
Get it done. You know, there are some supply chain issues. Certain parts are hard to get, and naturally. You know, Yamaha, believe it or not, has been out of oil for over a month or month and a half now. So
get in line.
It's a tough deal.
Well,
so, yeah, get in line or, you know, use another brand of oil and, and, you know, we'll get through this.
Well, a lot of folks looking to repower too. You know, you're looking at what, 7 months to a year out, get it ordered right now. I mean, there is,
I suggest people all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's us or somebody else, whoever you got a relationship with for service, go in and order a motor and get on the list, because that's the only way you're going to get one.
Yeah, definitely want to get it done right now. And with halibut, you know, this potential halibut season, this, you know, maybe an early halibut opener in the Strait, you definitely want to get on the list for a new outboard right now. Tell us about this potential halibut opener. So, I mean, it's definitely whirling around out there.
I can't give you the date.
Yeah.
The dates will be approved by the Pacific Fisheries Management Council at our meeting this next week. And then it goes to IPHC, but we'll be able to get the dates out the end of next week after the PFMC approves them. In all the years I've been doing this, PFMC and IPHC has never gone against what WDFW has proposed. So the proposed dates will be out. Guys, get ready for the Eastern Straits, the San Juans and, you know, Area 6, 9, first part of April. It's going to open up a couple weeks earlier than last year, which will be a great thing. Hopefully we'll be able to catch them while they're there. And then we're going to have the typical openers on the ocean. North Coast CQ will be the first Thursday in May, and then go Thursday, Saturdays on the North Coast, and the South Coast will be Thursdays and Sundays.
We're talking with Dave Johnson of Kitsap Marina this morning, who also sits on the Pacific Salmon Commission. And, you know, I know that you guys are about ready to dive into it, you know, coming this Monday. So what are, give us a look at the preseason position of those salmonid chess pieces on the board right now. What do you see as kind of one of the overlying themes coming into the salmon talks for 2022, David?
Well, right now we're in November. We don't get a whole lot of information. We normally don't get the forecast until around January. But talking to one of the salmon technical team people, they're predicting a season pretty much like we had this last year, if not a little bit better, due to the ocean conditions. And we also, 4 years ago, we didn't have a whole lot of flooding going on. So should be a pretty good season. You know, I knew this year was going to be better than what their predictions did just by looking at records from when we caught fish 4 and 5 years ago. And with the ocean conditions good, it was a fabulous season. Lots of people caught a lot of fish everywhere.
Yeah, and Joe's
the San Juans, Nelly.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
exactly.
Joe was talking to one of the guides down on the Columbia River. He was getting kings a couple weeks ago down there, still in the lower Columbia. Early word on the Columbia. I mean, with the ocean conditions the way they are, that should be another big boomer run down there, right, Dave?
Should be another big run.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we'll see those forecasts next month. There's usually a forecast meeting that NSI holds.
Usually a little one, and then we get a big one in January.
Yeah, so. Bingo.
Well, and the thing that's kind of hamstrung us a little bit, well, a lot here in Puget Sound, are the Puget Sound Chinook runs. Any good news whirling around out there about our salmon runs here in Puget Sound, buddy?
I have not heard anything. Unfortunately, most of my focus is on the ocean this time of year.
Sure.
So, sorry, I don't have any intel on any of that. You know, unfortunately, it looks like Area 11. You know, if you're going to want to catch a black mouth, you better hurry up and get down there and catch one.
There's no question about it. So what typically happens, though, what typically happens in some of the first meetings in the Pacific Salmon Commission? Because you guys start on Monday, right? So what typically?
We start on Monday, but most of this week in November, you know, because we work with California and Oregon, is on the California and Oregon coho problems that they're having in Northern California, Southern Oregon. So that's mainly the SAS's focus this week, is trying to figure that out. So us guys in Washington are just pretty much on standby. But then I'll be in, you know, listening and on all the halibut stuff to make sure all that gets approved.
All right. So I need some inside intel here. I got my Raymarine guys coming to town this week. I'm going to bomb some crab gear, you know, off of Everett somewhere, and then I'm bringing my BOMAC floats and some dyed Joey Pyburn signature model anchovies down to the fjord that is Hood Canal. So what am I gonna find when I get down to Hood Canal?
There's
on
a
Tuesday?
lot of chums running. Excuse me, the guys down at Hoodsport. There's a lot of guys fishing.
Okay.
A couple buddies of mine were fishing off Belfair State Park and doing well.
And
so it's a fun fishery.
But isn't that mostly like a bank fishery, though? Or are there quite a few boats?
Yes.
Okay.
There's quite a few boats that launch.
Nelly's coming down in a 30-foot duckworth.
I know.
Yes,
he's bringing his own beach.
14-footers.
So I'll be getting hate. They'll be lobbing gear towards me. But
you mentioned Belfair State Park, though. I mean, most of those creeks down there in Hood Canal, you know, get pretty good chum runs. The Union, Tahuya, Dewato, all that stuff.
Right.
So you could kind of spread out a little bit. You don't have to go to Hoodsport. Quilcene,
exactly right.
Dosey Wallops. I mean, just whopper chum runs in a lot of those creeks down there. And maybe not as many chums as Hoodsport, but maybe you can spread out a little bit and get some different water. But now the nice thing,
a lot less pressure.
Yeah, for sure. But with this flooding event coming here this next week, of course, that could blow a lot of that stuff out and force everybody over to Hoodsport. But what about the trout thing, man? You sent me out to what the heck was that lake out by?
You went to Nawatzel.
Nawatzel, yeah, great time. It was pretty windy that day.
Of course, you didn't look at the wind.
No, it was cranking, but that's fine. We need to get out of the house anyway. We got one nice trout and had missed a couple more. But, man, you've been roping them out there, and there's a bunch of other lakes that have been planted as well, man. What are some of the techniques you use to get these winter trout going, man?
So if they're on the surface, I've been trolling flies or little spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and I talked when I was out at Nawatzel last time, I was marking them on the fish finder a little bit deeper. So I went to a little tiny wiggle wart and a flatfish and got it down there a couple more feet, and it was just game on. You know, a lot of the local lakes have been stocked down here on the peninsula. You got Kitsap, Spencer, Nawatzel, Lost Lake. Leland up towards Port Townsend, Chimicum area has been really good. A customer texted me yesterday, and he had his limit in about a half hour up there at Leland. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. Today would be the day to get out before the wind and rain hit.
Yeah. Do you ever find that these winter trout, if you're not getting them, do you add some scent to your lure? Does it make a difference?
It does make a difference.
What do you like to put on there?
In fact, Rob's dad and one of his friends taught me years ago that they were slow trolling power bait down at Spencer, so I did it, and it was amazing what happened when you started doing that with an egg sinker.
Filthy power bait. That is like
dragging it on the boat. Joe hates power bait. Like, I want some night. What about some night crawlers?
We dragging night crawl.
You don't hate power bait, but he better start stocking up on halibut bait, because I hope this Eastern Straits opening up early is going to be a great deal.
Well, listen, Dave, don't think we are not cranking right now. I bought 8,000 pounds of the biggest. I got these Russian herring.
Really?
They're huge. They're like over a half a pound.
You test
a
them
piece.
For performance enhancing drugs.
I hope they have. I hope they're full of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cranking right now. Large squid, lots of the big herring, you know, octopus, all this stuff. It'll all be done and in the freezer here in the next month and a half.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people with, you know, Puget Sound Anglers been working on this for quite a while, and, you know, we would love to see it open a lot earlier, but, you know, a couple weeks earlier, and we
heck yeah,
chipping away at it.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll get her.
Might get a little better tides in April, too. Those May tides can be just horrendous at the Straits, so maybe get a little softer set of tides
spring
there in
tides
April,
are brutal,
know?
Dude. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, and the eastern winds.
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above. Go log on to kitsapmarina.com. You're going to find one of the best dealerships in the state. And Dave Johnson's smiling face right behind the parts counter. Dave, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Keep in touch, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Safe travels, Joey and Rob.
Thanks,
right,
buddy.
Later,
appreciate
man.
All the help, man. See ya.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson RV's Really Where, and it's next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean to me, Red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really?
Where?
RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere.
Really?
You got to check out the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center at 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard, and there you'll find a complete lineup of Winnebago Class A's, Class B's, Class B's, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more, including the all-new Echo by Winnebago. That's what you guys should be taking back to Montana, and that's what you're going to find at RoyRobinsonRV.com. That Winnebago Echo is a four-wheel drive, basically Class C on steroids, dude. It's a hunting rig extraordinaire.
Yeah, we could hide from the wind. We were supposed to leave right after the show here. 50-mile-an-hour winds where we're going in
brutal.
Montana.
Yeah.
So we're going to postpone till tomorrow, maybe even Monday, to bypass some of this big wind event going on back there. But here locally, I mean, we got this rain event coming in here today through Monday, Tuesday. Most of the river is going to blow up big time. I talked to Gabe Miller down at Sportco, pulling all of his deeks out of the duck field, pulling the blinds, everything. Everything's coming out of a lot of these fields, or you're going to come back to nothing. So we got a big rain event here this weekend, into the early part of the week, but you could go catch some chums right now.
Yeah, baby.
We were just talking about Hood's Port out on the Hood Canal. Great spot. Big hatchery area. Lots of chums milling around there right now. And all those creek mouths out there, all those rivers out there, get good pushes of chums this time of year. Dosey Wallops, Duck a Bush, Hamma Hamma, Quill Scene, Dewado, Union, Tahuya, all those creeks out
listen
there. Big
the
beef creek.
Geography of the fjord.
Those are my old stomping grounds growing up, man. We had a lot of fun out there as kids. And the drill out there nowadays is drifting and dead drifting either an anchovy or a herring under a float. 4 to 6 feet down. You don't need to go deep because they're surface cruisers. You'll see the schools around out there cruising. The only problem with this rain event, you're going to have a pretty good layer of muddy water on the surface out there. But
that's going to suck all – should suck all those chum right to the creek mouths.
Yeah, so something to do, you know, or work on your boat. This is a great time to dig into that boat, get your winterization done on the outboards. And again, we just had Dave Johnson on from Kitsap Marina. If you need anything, get it ordered right now. You might get it sometime this winter or spring. But especially if you need a repower right now, get that motor ordered, and hopefully you'll get it by next spring and be ready for next season. But definitely get on that stuff right now. Any of your stable. You know, I went looking for stable the other day. They didn't have the usual selection of stable. They just had a couple little bottles. I grabbed everything I could. But you want to stabilize your fuel. Nelly mentioned it earlier in the show. Get that fuel tank all the way full to the top and then hit it with a big shot of stable. And if you can, run both your kicker and your main and get stable into the engines as well, because you'll want to get as much, you know, any opportunity for moisture to get into that water system, into that fuel system, you want to get rid of all of it. So.
Something that we never really talk about, too, and that you and I ran into towing out to CQ is your trailer, dude. Your trailer. You did some work on your trailer this week, too, but I tell you what, and I don't mean to tick off any trailer manufacturers, but, man, they're trying to make a buck, right? So what they do is they don't put top-quality tires on the original equipment in some of these trailers. And so what I do is, you know, when you start seeing signs of wear, and you and I had a flat running out to CQ, fortunately it was –
we had to do the NASCAR tire change thing in the Safeway parking lot.
Yeah, but it was in a parking lot, which is huge. But the thing of it is, and then we went to Les Schwab and got 10-ply tires on that trailer. But anytime you're making a significant tow, and you know, get some good rubber on there, because one of the problems with rubber is if you're leaving your trailer out and sun gets to it, man, it ages those tires tremendously.
And boats end up sitting around a lot.
They do. And trailers just sit, and they'll sit in the sun and just get roasted. Your lights, your braking systems, all that kind of stuff. This is a great time of year to address that because, hey, man, you could have your boat in great shape, but if you don't take care of your trailer and your trailer goes out on you, you still ain't getting to the drain.
Or you could go duck hunting like me
and let
Nelly do the boat work because I don't have a boat. I just go fishing with Nelly.
Yeah, they're none better than a friend with a boat.
Yeah. Oh,
also,
yeah.
Your strap on the front end, you know, the ratchet system on the front
Buy a backup. I do have a commercial boat.
Yeah.
That's one thing I have. I have a backup strap because there's nothing worse cranking your boat up in the middle of the night like I am and pow, it breaks.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to tie your boat to your trailer. I've seen some crazy things on the boat ramp.
Get the batteries on a trickle charger. I mentioned your electric trolling motor. Make sure there's no line wound up in the hub. That'll blow out the hub on that little electric trolling motor. Your washdown pump. I mean, they're so difficult to even keep running when they do work.
Yeah.
Make sure you run some RV antifreeze fluid through that thing, and it'll get it through the winter. If you've got any water in that sucker and it freezes, it's done.
Anchoring for halibut has got a lot of popularity here lately. And what happens is a lot of boats have an anchor locker up forward where guys just run their rope down there and there's no ventilation and that stuff sits in there. And just if you have a salty rope in the front of an aluminum boat in particular, you're not doing yourselves any favor. Pull that rope out during the off season and let it dry. And what that also will do is it'll keep that corrosion to a bare minimum in that anchor locker up forward. I mean, there's just, dude, you got a boat. And here's something else.
And you probably should pull that rope out and, I mean, throw it in a bucket of water and rinse the salt out of it. Otherwise, it's just going to rot.
If you have just left your rods and reels on the boat, I have taken all the rods off the boat, all the reels, and taken the reels off the rods, sent them back in for service. Kevin John up at Holiday Sport just went through all my halibut reels and all my salmon reels, and now I'm good to go, right? I'm in a super good spot. Go check the shift and throttle cables on your on your kicker, because the ends of those suckers that are out on the water, they get fried.
Oh, for sure. You get in the spring, you can't even shift your outboard.
And
I've gone through that in Alaska a few times.
Sure.
And with the supply chain stuff, it's not going to work. You're going to get in there next spring and you're not going to have an outboard. I was going to get into a little gun cleaning thing with Joe. You know, he hasn't cleaned his Browning A5 a season and a half now.
Yeah,
how many hunting trips? 50? 100?
Oh, more than that. I did 100? Probably 70 in the blind last year. You know,
so he loaned me his A5. There were some pheasants running up the hill, so I ran up the hill the other day, and I got one shot off, and then the second round didn't quite get in there. It's like there was so much like duck feathers and all kinds of stuff in it. I'm like, Joe, you got to clean this guy.
But it worked for me fine. And then Rob took it up the hill and broke it.
So Joe, I talked to him this morning, like, you clean the A5? I was like, no way, I'm not cleaning that thing. He shot it with some WD-40, working fine again.
I just oiled it up a little bit, you know, ran the action a bunch of times. It's fine.
Unbelievable. It's
fine. Have you seen those new hops, boar snakes?
I've got a couple. Oh, yeah.
Dude, those things are the bomb.
Well, you
man.
Oil up the whole snake, and it's just one pass. And
right just buy an A5. You don't need one of those stupid
you don't need
things.
To clean. You don't even need a gun cleaning kit now.
No.
So, and even with the rifles, you don't run a patch through them at the end of the year to wipe them down or anything like that? Yeah. Not necessarily.
End of the season, I
guess. Guys are going to think I'm a greaseball. But Lampers and I, we ran Browning.
Yeah.
The A-Bolt 270 stainless stalkers for like 20 years. I might have cleaned it one time. and we sent them down to Bob's. One of the guys at Bob's was like, hey, bring those guns down here, and I'll detail them out and clean them all up for you.
He called us.
And he was like, what have you guys been doing to these guns? It's like, they're disgusting. There's pine needles jammed between the barrel and
Deer
the stock.
Hair.
He's like, and they came back. I was like, oh,
this is
brand
what
new.
Yes.
Brand but new. That, yeah.
Brand
I don't
new
know.
Shiny penny.
Now, with a gas shotgun,
you're gonna
I'd
have
be
to
cleaning
clean
it all the time. But those A5s, man, and we kind of
And
did
listen,
this.
I will clean it, but I want to see how long I can go.
Well, you and I talked last year, and you're like, man, I'm just gonna let this thing go.
Ride this
just
thing
see
out.
How, and here we are, 100 trips in, and
maybe,
still
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
Working like a champ. Well, kind of, until I grabbed it, but working like a champ.
Well, you know what I think did it was we were shooting that cheap steel shot, dove loads at the Sporting Clays, and, you know, the BBs were falling out of it, and sometimes I think those shots was leaving just a ton of residue in the barrel, and I could just feel it in the action. So
a little bit of oil, a little Earl in there, good to go.
Yeah.
Throw some dust in there, a little Earl. Yeah, some sagebrush.
So chances are you knuckleheads are blasting back to Montana early next week, and I will have our dear friend Bob Buchanan in the studio, and he's gonna be coaching us up on some crab, and I'll be back from Hood Canal by then, and have some of that chum and tail, and actually have a couple hours of just it's after hunting season, it's gonna be actually good to get the boat back on the water and run some of that stuff too, but like Dave Johnson was telling us again. Get your stuff now because the supply chain thing is a nightmare on the outboard side, but also on the tackle availability side too. And I've noticed a lot of open pegs in a lot of different stores and a lot of different places. So
we're ordering hooks and everything from Alaska right now. And I also just ordered some Dive Bomb Industries Silhouette decoys because we're hunting geese in Montana as well.
Cool.
They're sweet, and usually with a Silhouette, when they swing around. All they see is the decoy just disappears, but they actually have poses where it looks like you're looking at the back of a honker.
Mm-hmm.
So when they swing around those spreads, you got every angle covered.
And with those silhouettes, the geese or the ducks are flying around. They're constantly seeing a different, it almost looks like movement
in there.
Yeah.
And I got a dozen.
They're so easy.
It just packs into nothing. So we got a bunch of deeks we're bringing with us. It looks like nothing. Packs really easy. You can pack 3-4 dozen and no problem. You know.
Oh, we do 2 bags of 5 dozen.
Yeah.
When we're hunting up in Sumas, and they're just easy, man. 5 dozen in a little bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Piece of cake. What are you laughing at, Nelly?
I just kind of wonder what the you guys are heading back there. You're going to do some tenting. Okay. What's the menu going to look like in the just outside the tent?
So last year we brought coolers full of food. We ate pretty good. Potatoes and steak and breakfast,
really?
All kinds of stuff. The backcountry meals now are crazy. Peak Refuel, insane. Joe
Pinnacle.
Picked up some Pinnacle. The food is crazy. You could eat it at home. Very, very good. Very good meal.
So we're going all dehydrated,
all backcountry
all
meals.
Freeze-dried food.
Yeah.
Yep. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, just going simple.
That's it.
Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah.
So it's, gang. It's going to rain this weekend, okay? And the rivers are already full. And I'm looking at this weather underground for the next 3 days.
Yeah, I know. It's rough.
And we're looking at a half. We're looking at an inch and a half. And we're looking at a three-quarter. Now, I don't know what that adds up to, but it's a lot of water in the river.
I pulled the upper Skagit at Marble Mount, 15,000 CFS right now. The Cascade's flowing at 3,800. I kind of worry about the hatchery up there. Most of our hatcheries, too.
Yeah.
You got to, hopefully we don't have any blowouts or power going out or anything here these next few days because it can really affect our hatcheries as well. But we're done fishing here for a little while.
This is a bad
these rivers.
One.
And you waterfowlers, you know, I'm going to probably, if we're not leaving, I'm going to bomb up and hunt some do some field hunting up there with the guys. But this is the time of year when you got to be super careful down around these rivers because these things could blow out and you're stuck out in a field and guys get in big trouble real quick.
Yeah, don't push it, man. I mean, it's easier to drive around than go through a flooded road, too. So, you know, be out and be safe out there. And good luck to you guys in Montana next week, too. If you missed any of the show, log on to MyNorthWest.com, TheOutdoorLine.com, or download that Apple podcast app. Give us a follow on social media at Rob Ensley, at Joe Pyburn on Instagram, and at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, Rob Ensley, Joy Piper, and I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line at 710 ESPN. See ya.